49ers, Raiders, Warriors, Giants, A's, Sharks. If it's Bay Area action you seek, we're talking about it. From the South Bay to the North Bay and everywhere in between, we have you covered.
This is Ryan Radke, the voice of Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. You're listening to Bay Area Sports Wrap with your hosts, Marco Ukalovich and Ryan Leon.
Second and goal from the two. Purdy's going to line up in the shotgun with McCaffrey to his right. Three receivers left. Ayuk single man to the right. Samuel in motion from left to right. Stops in the slot. Purdy looks right, takes the snap, holds it out, gives it to McCaffrey. Up the middle into the end zone. Touchdown, San Francisco. A two-yard touchdown run for Christian McCaffrey, and the 49ers have taken the lead. 15-9 San Francisco with 2 seconds gone here in the fourth quarter. Eighth consecutive game for Christian McCaffrey with a touchdown.
Obviously, there's more on the line, but I think, you know, we're winning. We got to just do the same thing as we always do every week, and that's correct the mistakes that we make and capitalize on the strengths and keep rolling and play our best game come Sunday.
And welcome to Bay Area Sports Wrap. I'm your host, Ryan Leong, and joined alongside Marco Ukalovich. And Marco, once again, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Ryan, it's been nice to finally get together and talk some football here with you.
Exactly. Boy, we've been doing a lot of that, that's for sure. The Niners, once again, advancing to the NFC Championship game. They're going to go for 13 in a row. Hopefully, them it's going to be lucky number 13 as they go to the City of Brotherly Love to take on the Eagles. And, you know, I know we were talking about this last week, Marco, and we're kind of joking about Apollo Creed, that the 49ers are taking on that role. But, of course, I saw this meme that I sent on Instagram of Brock Purdy with this face on the famous Rocky III poster calling it Brocky. So maybe he's going to be the one that's going to be the underdog. He certainly is, of course, to everybody in the football world, being the last pick of the 2022 NFL draft. Marco, your thoughts this week about what's going to be, of course, the football game of the year.
Yeah, definitely. This is the matchup I think everybody wanted, at least from the NFC standpoint, having the two best teams, Philadelphia and San Francisco. They were 1-2, and we're getting the matchup that I think everyone wanted to see. With that said, it's funny that, you know, Philadelphia calls itself the City of Brotherly Love, considering how their fan base acts and has acted over the years. So they're anything but that. I mean, come on, these are the same guys who boot Santa Claus. I mean, so, but yeah, it's going to be an electric atmosphere at the link. And I can't wait for this game to kick off, because again, this is the matchup that I've been wanting to see ever since really about the midway point of the season. You know, that's when the Niners really started establishing themselves as a winning team, getting that win streak going, like you mentioned, 12 in a row now. Hopefully it'll be 13 after Sunday afternoon around 3:30, and we'll find out. But when you look at the standpoint that, you know, you got two young quarterbacks going up against each other in this matchup with Brock Purdy and Jalen Hurts, and it's funny because these guys have a little bit of a history with each other playing back in college, and they went up against each other. And I believe Jalen Hurts was he with the Oklahoma or at that time when they played Iowa State, right?
Iowa State, correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right. And what bowl was that? There was a bowl they played in, wasn't it?
Yeah, I can't remember which one it was, but I just do remember that. Yeah, I think Hurts did come out on top of that one. But you know, again, you know, you got Brock Purdy. You know, everyone says, well, okay, he's a rookie and he's Mr. Irrelevant, blah 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 blah. But you know, when you spend 4 years in college, 48 games as a starter, that proves that, you know, you know what you're doing out there. And he's proven that. And during this time that he's been in with the 49ers, taking over for Jimmy Garoppolo, who got hurt in the Miami game, and what, 7-0 now he is his record. So I think that this kid, you know, he's faced pretty much almost every kind of adversity in that seven games that he's played in. And I don't think that this is going to faze him at all. This is going to be probably a good test of a pass rush. Now, he got one this past Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys, but were able to get over the top of that and beat them 19-12. So I think this kid's just going to go in as poised and calm as ever. He's going to treat this like a normal, regular game. And, you know, I think that the Niners can get the running game going in this one. They're going to really be hard to stop because if they get the running game going with Christian McCaffrey, and I know he's a little bit banged up. Elijah Mitchell's a little bit banged up. They didn't practice today. But, again, you're going to have Deebo Samuel as an option in the backfield. If they get that going, then I can see them really being able to dominate this game.
No, I agree with you. And I think one of the things that we thought might be a factor would be the weather, because you would assume it's going to be cold. And it's actually supposed to be pretty nice. I understand the weather's going to be something like in the low 50s maybe for that game.
Wow. That's balmy out there for Philly.
Right, exactly. So, and the thing is, there's been a lot of talk from George Kittle about that. So, we'll play that for you. He anticipates a violent game, you know, kind of like your old style smash mouth football, heavyweight fight, as we've been talking about, the whole Rocky and Apollo Creed type of deal. And, yeah, it's going to be fun to watch for sure.
It's going to be wonderful. I know how much the fans love the opposing team and all the fans. So it's going to be really fun, and it's going to be cold and violent, and it's going to be a blast.
I myself want to go to this bar called Kezar Pub, and this is across the street from where the Niners originally played at Kezar Stadium, which was their original home. I would have loved to have seen football games back in the day there. The Niners played in this old stadium that is built on the outskirts of where Golden Gate Park is located. And if fans want to go by there now, they've redone it. The stadium was torn down after the 1989 earthquake, and they rebuilt it at a 10,000-seat capacity. And it primarily hosts high school games now. In fact, it always hosts the city championship, which is held on Thanksgiving Day. So it's a fun game to watch. And, when they have it there for Thanksgiving, and, you know, there's a little bit of history still there, and it's too bad the Niners don't even play in the city of San Francisco anymore, but that's for another time. But Kezar was once this great venue, and it was so cool because it was like having kind of like a Wrigley Field football environment. There was no real parking. In fact, one of the funny stories is my late father went to medical school at UCSF, which is just up the hill from Kezar. And a lot of the medical students would, the night before, park their cars in the neighborhood, and then the next day charge people like $50 to have the parking space. So that was one way that they would make some money. Nice. Anyway, over the years, the bar Kezar Pub has become a bar that, of course, you know, you go to watch the local sports. But what's become very popular in San Francisco is to find themed bars that play your team's game. So, for instance, Kezar Pub hosts a lot of Eagles fans. So this is going to be really interesting to see how they're going to do this coming Sunday. I understand that last Sunday when they played the Giants, 80% of the fans there were Eagles fans, and they had something like, I don't know, about maybe somewhere in the neighborhood of 300 Eagles fans that showed up. Wow. This time they're going to have Niners fans too, but apparently the Eagles contingent is very, very strong. So I'll be curious to see if I can get myself in there. Might have to leave kind of early to go to the game. Since the game starts at noon, I'll probably have to go to this bar around 11, I'm imagining, just to get a seat to get in there. So but like you said, though, Eagles fans are, you know, they're a different breed. And I think that's Philly fans in general. Right? So that is sort of why they're unique, you know, and I think it's going to be they are kind of very hardcore and intense. But at the same time, it should lend itself to being somewhat fun and entertaining.
Let's hope so. And let's hope that I was going to say, don't wear any of your Niners starter jackets there, because they might try to take it out on you if they lose.
I don't know. I mean, I'll wear it just because, I mean, come on, you're the home of the Niners. This is San Francisco. I mean, I find it hard to believe that that's the one place, if I'm going to wear a Niners jacket, that would be the place to wear it. In fact, Kezar is really cool because there's a lot of old Niners memorabilia that's in that bar.
Oh, really cool.
So, yeah. I mean, it's not called Kezar Pub for nothing. So, anyway, it's definitely going to be a great game to watch. I mean, I'm somewhat nervous about the outcome. I think that as well as the Niners have played, they're playing a team finally that's, you know, the other best team in the conference. I didn't have too many doubts at all about Seattle, and I didn't have that many about Dallas. But this game, there's definitely a lot of concern, I think, just because, I mean, the Eagles weren't the number one seed for nothing. So, you know, talking to our friend Ruth Kakias, the moment of truth with Ruth, she couldn't join us this week, but she even predicted that the game would be, the Niners would win it, but it'll be by a score of like 17-14. And I'm probably sticking along the same lines too. I mean, although I still think they could score somewhere in the 20s, but it's going to be a tough game for the Niners to try to pull out.
Yeah, no, I agree. I believe this is also going to be a low scoring game, somewhere in like a 20-17 type of game. I think it's going to be a one score game just because of the way, you know, you have both defenses who are stout. And I see this very similar to the Dallas game in that, you know, there's not going to be a lot of points scored. I think the kickers are going to be the main weapons here for both teams. And I think, though, well, I think what gives the Niners the edge is that, you know, being the number one defense and just being, I think they were number one against the run, if not, but, you know, the fact that they were able to stop, you know, all these really top running games that they faced over the last few weeks, especially with Dallas. And, you know, they've been one of the top running teams. I know Pollard got hurt, but still going into that game, they were one of the top running teams in the league, and the Niners stopped them. And I think they're going to do the same thing, whether it's Miles Sanders or, you know, Boston Scott or whoever, Kenneth Gainwell, whoever's running back. I don't think we're going to be able to have a good game against that San Francisco's defense. That front seven is just going to be all over that. And I really think that you turn Jalen Hurts into a one-dimensional offense as far as him being having to throw the ball a lot. That's also, I think, it's going to work in the 49ers' favor. So I think the key to this game is the 49ers' defense keeping him in the pocket, not letting him scramble, not letting him get out and run and make some you know, positive yardage up the field. So if they can contain him, then I really don't see how Philadelphia is going to be able to score. I know they got great offensive receivers, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. Those guys can get down the field. They can blow by guys like Javarius Ward if there's a deep shot down the field. But how many chances are they going to get to be able to do that? Probably not many. So again, I think if the Niners just keep their offense balanced with I would say 60-40 run to pass, they have a real good chance of beating Philadelphia and booking their trip down to Glendale, Arizona, for a Super Bowl. What is this, 57 now?
Mm-hmm. That's
there
right.
There you go. Yeah. So that's how I feel the games. I still think that because of that defense that the Niners are going to be able to pull this one off, but in a low-scoring, one-score game.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'd be curious to see how the other game will go, that being Cincinnati and the Bengals and Chiefs, which, as you mentioned, is a rematch of the AFC Championship from last year, correct?
Yeah, that is correct. Back-to-back years now.
So.
Yeah, and that's going to be an interesting game too, because you have Patrick Mahomes and his, you know, high ankle sprain. Of course, you know, he's acting like he's never had one or suffered one on Saturday. But, you know, who knows how he's going to respond. And then again, you know, you had Cincinnati, who's their top two linemen were out, but it didn't seem to affect them. They dominated Josh Allen, their defense did, and did not let Buffalo score anything in that game. And that's to me huge when you can take really the top offense in the league, that was the Buffalo Bills, and shut them down. And I kind of see them doing the same thing again to Patrick Mahomes, whether he, you know, they shoot him full of morphine and tape up his ankle and make him, you know, mobile out there, that's going to be remains to be seen. But even if that's the case, I still think Cincinnati's defense is strong enough to keep Kansas City's offense in check. So I'm looking forward to that. Both these games are going to be really, you know, most watched and worth watching, should I say, because they're both intriguing storylines.
Hi, this is Kevin Burkhardt from Fox Sports. If it's Bay Area action you seek, we're talking about it.
If anybody was wondering, they're declaring that Zeke Elliott is ineligible just by alignment, although they can lateral him the ball.
Final play, it looks like, barring a penalty. Prescott over the middle of the Turpin. Gets smoked right away, and that'll do it. The 49ers back to the championship game. San Francisco, a hard-fought, well-earned 19-12 win over the Cowboys. And Brock Purdy, the rookie, is going to the title game. 49ers have been there before three times in the last 4 years. And on the last play, Cowboys needed a miracle. Didn't have it on this day. Jimmy Ward with a big hit. And the Niners move on. They'll take on the Eagles next week. Let's rejoin Bay Area Sports Wrap with your hosts, Marco and Ryan. No politics, no nonsense, just sports.
I'm just kind of curious to see, you know, of course, who's going to emerge victorious from these two games and what matchup we're going to end up getting for the Super Bowl. Because, you know, on the one hand, you could have Niners versus Bengals or Chiefs, or you could have the Eagles versus the Bengals or Chiefs. You know, it's going to be a really, really interesting, you know, outcome. And yeah, I mean, I also think this, you know, if whoever plays these games, sometimes you wonder if this is going to be better than the Super Bowl, because for years, for instance, when you look back at when the Cowboys were really good in the early 90s, right, and the Niners ended up playing them in those games, that was a bigger deal than when the Niners ended up going to the Super Bowl against the Chargers. I knew when that happened, for instance, Super Bowl 29 is the last time the Niners won the Super Bowl. That was no contest. I mean, I knew the Niners were just going to steamroll the Chargers, which they did. It wasn't even close. And remember, the best game ended up being that NFC Championship. That was right. The game. That was the Super Bowl. So this might be similar. We don't. I mean, hard to say. But in any case, it's going to be definitely a must see Sunday for Championship Sunday coming up.
Yeah, I can't wait. You know, we're 3 days away now, and I'm really excited to see, you know, what goes down in this first game with the Niners and Eagles. And, you know, depending on what they do, I think, you know, it's probably going to be hard to top with Cincinnati, Kansas City. That's why I was really hoping these games were flipped. I was really hoping that the Niners Eagles would be the last game, but it's not. It is what it is. And we got to, you know, find out what all happens right at noon. So it's going to be an exciting day. Football here in the Bay Area. I know Niners fans are geared up. They're psyched up, you know, to be back in this position again, like 1 year later, one game away from the Super Bowl. So whether the Niners can pull this out, we're going to have this again. We're just going to have to find out and wait. And then hopefully it's very compelling and a very good game that we end up watching.
Yeah. Well, let's end on this note. You know, we were talking before we got on this podcast about this, this Tom Brady movie coming out called 80 for Brady. If you haven't seen the previews yet, it's about these four women who decide to somehow go to the Super Bowl to see Tom Brady play when he played his last Super Bowl with the Patriots, which I'm drawing a blank on the Super Bowl number, but this was years ago. So
yeah, when they played the Rams and they beat them like 16-3, right?
This is the one against the Falcons.
Oh, okay.
They come back infamous game where Kyle Shanahan's offense just. They took a dump and they were up 28-3 and then they lost.
Oh, okay. So the movie's focusing on that one. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. So anyway, the real life story of this is how it was actually five women, one of which unfortunately now passed away. Two others are in assisted care living facilities, and the two other women that are still around were interviewed on CBS this morning, or Sunday morning rather, and it was fun to watch this interview. But the one thing that was sad, Marco, was the fact that these two women never got a chance to meet Tom Brady. The producer, or rather director of the movie, is connected to one of the women, which makes it feel fortunate for us that we've all had a chance to talk to Tom Brady. You, in fact, had a chance to interview him along with Ruth when the Buccaneers were here last month. And that was, of course, I'm sure, an exciting moment for you. Again, it's just too bad that somehow these women even had their own like premiere for the film and there was no Tom Brady. And these women swoon over Tom Brady. I mean, of course, they're old enough to be his great grandmother, I think, or something like that, right? Or at least his grandmother for sure, because you know, he's only a few years younger than we are. So, but this should be a fun movie to watch. You've got four very famous actresses, right? You got Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin, Rita Moreno, who's like 91, and Sally Field. So I think it's going to be an entertaining movie to watch. A lot of people are actually very interested and excited about this film coming out, just because you get four Hollywood legends like that in a very sort of a silly, funny movie that, you know, this goes to show you the popularity of the NFL and how it's morphed into something like this based on a story of this true story of these women who would go and watch, you know, Patriots games. And they even had T-shirts made up there that say 80 for Brady.
Nice. Well, it sounds like I saw the piece and, you know, it's a great story, and I can't wait to see, you know, how Hollywood does this. And, you know, of course, you know, we all know Hollywood takes liberties with exactly how the stories unfold, but I'm looking forward to seeing that. It should be a fun movie to go check out, just if you're a football fan. You don't have to be a Tom Brady fan to go watch this movie, just as long as you're a football fan. I think everyone will enjoy it.
Yeah, it's a totally fictional story, but it is going to be fun, because like I said, the basic premise is these four women try to find some way to go to the Super Bowl, and they basically find a way to crash the game and end up, I think, even as performers in the halftime show or something like that. So that gives you an idea of the silliness of this film. But something that's very needed, I think, in this crazy world of ours, with too much tragedy going on that I'm not going to get into. But if you know what I mean. But just by alluding to that, we know what kind of a crazy world we live in. So for having an entertaining movie like this will be fun to watch. And I want to close on this note. We recorded this podcast on the 3-year anniversary of Kobe Bryant's passing, along with his daughter and the 7 other passengers that, of course, tend to get overlooked, like it's Gilligan's Island. If you ever watched the original Gilligan's Island TV show, the first season referred to the professor and Marianne as the rest. Like, the rest of what? I mean, these people had names, you know? Right. So given that, I'm going to mention their names real quickly here. That was, the crash. The other victims included John Altobelli, baseball coach, along with his wife and daughter. There was Sarah Chester, Peyton Chester, and let's see, the pilot, Zobayan, and Christina Mauser. So it's just a sad day. You know, when you think of this tragedy, it reminds me a lot of Roberto Clemente and how he passed away, although he passed away when he was still an active player. He actually had gotten his 3,000th hit that season of 1972, and then he went to Nicaragua on a rescue mission for victims of a terrible earthquake. And unfortunately, his plane crashed while he was on that mission. So
yeah, no, definitely. You know, thinking back on this 3 years ago, I think we were all in shock that we found out that Kobe Bryant had died in a helicopter crash along with his daughter and the 7 other passengers in there, including the pilot. And it just, yeah, sometimes you just have, when you see these tragedies unfold like that, you just, I think, have to just take a step back and just appreciate everything that you have in your life, and because you just never know when it can be taken away from you. And yeah, we need to reflect on stuff like this. I agree. But at the same time, it's also a time to reflect on and appreciate, you know, your family, your friends, you know, your job, whatever it is that you have that's going well for you, appreciate it. Because again, you just never know when it can be taken away from you.
No, and I do want to mention one more thing too. You know, our late friend, Jeremy Kahn, he passed away almost a year ago to the day. He passed away shortly after my birthday, which is coming up in a couple of days. And so, you know, he's a great example of somebody, unfortunately, who, you know, we never see it coming as to when it's your last day. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people who I know who personally are battling cancer, or a friend of mine who just died from cancer. It's just, right. Yeah. I mean, I guess you said it best, Marco. I mean, that really is a good way to look at your life. It's just that, you know, even if you don't enjoy what you got, even if you don't like your job or right, whatever it is, you're still alive. And so being alive is better than the other, you know, better than the alternative, as I like to say. So on that note, you know, go ahead, Marco.
I was going to say, no, I couldn't agree with you more. And that was perfectly said, Ryan. Thank you.
All right. Well, hey, that's Bay Area Sports Wrap for this week. We'll look forward to seeing you next time right here on Bay Area Sports Wrap.